just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, you can find me crying all of the time.
Monday, Monday.
Here we go, another edition of the Gray Area. Joel and Gray. Exactly how I feel this morning.
Good morning.
I feel diabolical. Does my body feel? I painted me and paintbrushes got along way too well this weekend. I enjoyed every second of it, but man, it hurts on Monday morning. I forgot to pop it a lead this morning. I should have done that. We're good. How was your weekend, Greg?
Fantastic. Rachel and I had a good one, but still, we end up sore too. We had one of those weekends where you walk around enough to make your hips kind of sore by the end of it. Rachel and I were at a music festival over the weekend.
Nice.
Had a fantastic, safe, responsible time. Actually, one whole adult beverage was consumed between the whole party. So it was a very incredibly responsible time. And it was a type of music that's not going to get played on 98Q Country with some electronic music. But the environment around that music was absolutely awesome and weird and wild, and yeah, there's stories I can and stories I can't tell.
So as soon as you said that the music was electronic music, you know where my mind immediately went? It went to the final performance on the original Revenge of the Nerds movie.
I had no chance. I had no chance.
Do you remember that one?
No, I actually haven't seen Revenge of the Nerds. It's on my classics list that I somehow have not.
Well, when you see the final scene and the song they do, maybe then you'll say, well, okay, I understand, Joel, why the word electronic went with that.
So, fair enough. For me, I know there's a lot of people who will go to stuff like that for a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of, like, I definitely am having one of the tame, like, I wore beige the first day, like, I'm definitely not doing it the way a lot of people are doing it. But at the same time, for me, it's just an incredible experience. Yes, with all the people around and stuff like that, and that's fun, and paying $20 for some tater tots is a grand old time. But for me, it was just the sheer audio experience. And I know that might be some radio nerd stuff and some AV nerd type stuff, but like to be standing 300 or 400 yards from the nearest speaker and still feel the ground shaking.
Oh man.
From the bass.
Wow.
It's like just sitting there and thinking how much power, like how much coal is burning to get this to get this done. But like it's incredibly impressive from a technical standpoint. And like, yeah, if you don't enjoy the music, you probably aren't gonna have the best of times, but there's nobody there who's not loving it. It's one of those experiences where you're either there 100% or you're not showing up in the first place.
Was there a rule of the concert that there was no putting 10 stakes into the ground more than 6 inches? Because if there's oil down there, it might start shooting up. It might start popping up.
You know, funny enough, you joke, but there were a lot of people with 10 stakes in the ground, because one of the things that festival goers are very familiar with is something, there's a lot of names for them, but they're all basically inflatable couches.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just a nylon sack of air, basically. So you put a stake down so that the wind doesn't blow it away when you stand up.
Nice.
But there were a lot of tent stakes in the ground, if only for that reason. A lot of campers too, though. It was on the Rockfest Country Fest grounds down in Cadott, so there was a camping section that was massively attended and had its own separate little mini concert. Like it was pretty incredible.
Nice. What town was this in?
This was in Cadott. It was actually quite a few miles out of town, but like I said, it was where they hold Rockfest and Country Fest.
I was gonna say, yeah, they got the grounds right there.
Yeah, so the infrastructure was fantastic. It was making use of something that was already there, and
that's cool. Not that far away too. Yeah.
Perfect distance. Yeah. We took Friday off, so it was a real vacation, even that close to home. Just far enough to feel like we'd driven far enough. Left the dog with some great people up here in Park Falls and had a whole time this weekend. It was really fantastic.
All right. Well, I never want to turn the gray area into a sports football show, but I feel like there's just too much out there to ignore this today. First of all, there's news this morning. Mike Clemens reported that Jaire Alexander being released by the Packers. So Lions and Panthers, they say, are a couple of teams that he may end up with. But is that really huge news? I mean, he's had such health issues. The chances of him making it through an entire season really aren't that significant. So the chances of him going somewhere like and being a huge impact player are probably fairly minimal, right?
The problem is that when he does see the field, he is a huge impact player. Yes, so, yes. Like, I expect kind of a middling contract, but if he goes to a slightly more desperate team or if he's able to prove something in a workout, don't expect to see more money than you might think. You know, it might be something closer to what he was standing to make with Green Bay in an eventual contract. That said, also don't be surprised if teams are incentive-based. Teams want him to prove that he can play. You know, we'll give you good money if you're on the field more than 65% of defensive snaps or something to that effect.
Yeah.
That's... You got to protect yourself when he's that injured. And he is that injured. I mean, with the money he's already made, if he retired tomorrow, he could have a good... If he invests well, he could have a great life. He could absolutely retire. And that's what I would do, I think, if I were that injured. But he's Jaire. And people who think the way Jaire does don't quit for any other reason than that they have no choice.
I could see a team like Carolina, maybe a team that maybe will take a little chance on him, maybe give him another extra million a year just because he's a elite level player, and if he does have a healthy year, could affect your team.
There's always one of the main options that is not often considered a main option because players do often get grabbed up so quickly. He might decide to play the field a little bit, which pun aside, he might wait until week 2 or 3 of the NFL season when a team finds out, holy cow, we need some guys in the defensive backs room for one reason or another. Our rookie is not that good. Our injuries stacked up fast, whatever. There's 3 or 4 flavors of, hey, we need a guy all of a sudden. And hey, look at that. I'm Jaire Alexander and I'm ready this week. Well, that's suddenly worth a lot more in that kind of situation.
He says he's ready to go, so we'll see where he ends up. Top 3 things that Joel learned from the weekend on the gray area. Here we go. You ready for this?
No idea.
Number 3, I learned I've always known this, but I really enjoyed the joy of an early morning walk, whether you're in the country or you're in the city. The joy of getting up at, you don't necessarily have to set the alarm clock. Early is a term that's a little bit discretionary for everybody.
Early is relative, literally. Yeah. By definition.
But getting up in the morning, going for a walk, whether it is with or without your significant other. But the joy of an early morning walk is you're going to see a deer probably at some point, even if you're out in the country or in the city. The joy of an early morning walk. Number 2, the joy of painting I discovered over the weekend. It's good, mindless. It's just wonderful. Is there anything better than changing the appearance of whatever, like if you own a house or you own a trailer or something like that, and you know that something looks like crap, it just looks horrible.
Yep.
A good old gallon of paint for $20-$30 and an afternoon's worth, and yada bing, yada bang, yada boom. The joy of painting, I think, is definitely underrated.
Bob Ross agrees.
Yes, and the number one thing I learned from the weekend is the Big Dipper definitely has a French fry problem.
And they want to put it on you.
Yes,
they do.
We not only had Big Dipper Friday night for supper, but then Saturday night for supper, my wife and I had chili cheese fries at home putting the leftover fries in the air fryer. It was wonderful.
Now I have to ask, did you, the chili cheese fries that you made at home, were they leftover French fries or the home fries?
Both. Because I got the home.
Nice.
And my wife got the regular. And then when we did the Saturday night meal, we swapped. So I took the regular and she took the home fries.
I don't blame them for not saying so, but every meal of the Dipper is kind of a 2-for-1 in that way.
Yeah, great fish fry out there too, by the way. So some good stuff. So some more football stuff now. Aaron Rodgers signed since we last talked last Monday. He signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess if there was a team that he was going to sign with, that was the one, and he did it.
It felt like that one season of your favorite TV show where they retreaded the old tires. It's like, are you really going to will they, won't they, all season? Yes, they finally. Yeah, he's a Steeler. It's over. You can stop asking. He's a Steeler. Will his Achilles handle more than one snap.
I don't believe in NFL conspiracies. I don't believe in any of that stuff. But in this case, I might lean into it just a little bit because did the NFL know that the Steelers were going to play the Jets in week one in New York? So you got Aaron Rodgers going to New York to take on the Jets in week one. In week four, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting Minnesota. There's always that Aaron Rodgers-Viking rivalry, so that's kind of a special thing. And in week number eight, of course, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers playing host to who? Your Green Bay Packers in week eight. So the first 8 weeks of the season, we got three games that definitely you're like, ooh, I kind of want to watch that.
Yeah. Jordan Love already had a comment out there about looking forward to talking to Aaron pregame and hopefully swapping jerseys after the game. Like I said, I hope Aaron is still on the field. He's getting old for an NFL quarterback. So I hope he's still on the field in week eight, but the Vikings actually had an interesting comment. They stated that they were significantly interested in Rodgers, but they specifically are betting on McCarthy and his three-year window. Did you hear that comment?
His rookie window.
That's mm-hmm. that's like more than ever before. The NFL is predicated around cheap rookie contracts.
Well, if you can get a guy who's playing for $3 million a year and he plays at a Pro Bowl status,
yep.
Versus that fourth year where if he's a Pro Bowler, now he's going to get, what, $40, $50 million or whatever he's going to get. It's going to be huge, whatever he gets. And, I mean, that's huge. That's four or five players you may have signed in the offseason. It's huge for a team.
Yeah, franchise quarterback money starts at $35 million if you get a if you get a team-friendly contract from a player like Brock Purdy, for example. The 49ers did better than most teams do and didn't see a Super Bowl over the span of Brock Purdy's rookie contract after he fell into their lap. So, like, the one thing going on there that's a little bit tough is that had Brock Purdy been known as that talent, he would have likely been taken in the first round. First-round draft picks can be five-year rookie contracts at the team's discretion. Of course, Brock Purdy was literally the last man drafted, so his rookie contract ended after 4 years. I'd love to know what the 49ers could have done with one extra year of cheap Brock Purdy, but we'll see this year what they can pull off in year one of expensive Brock Purdy. They've already paid a couple people that people thought that they'd lose. So.
I heard one of the podcasts I listened to over the weekend talk about the demise of the 49ers may be imminent. Maybe imminent because they're losing some people, and with the money they got to pay out a quarterback to, they feel... podcast I listen to feels that the 49ers will slide.
If Lynch and Shanahan can't handle this storm, then I don't know who can. I believe in them. I do. And that could be ignorance. As always, we'll see.
We have some other interesting NFL things that I'm going to blow your... I'm literally going to make you shake your head. You might as well already start shaking it right now. And this will be after the bottom of the hour news in just a little bit. I want to mention a couple of birthdays because if I don't do it now, I'll forget. Diane Foytek is celebrating a birthday today. Verna wants to wish Diane a happy 71st birthday today. Peggy Morgan, who is celebrating a birthday also today. That is from your family. And we have Cade Fisher, who texted us in through the Civic Media 98Q text line from Dan and Robin. Cade, happy birthday to you. A couple more.
I've got one here. I've got two here. That's actually one here that's actually none here that bears mentioning. Why? Because Diane, a super special happy birthday to you. Three different people, kind of all at once, called to make sure Diane heard her happy birthday.
Let's see. CG probably called.
I actually don't have details. Right. But if you're probably right, if I had to guess. Yes. But Diane, happy birthday from a pile of your friends.
All right. Happy birthday to you. More of the Gray Area coming up after our twice an hour news and sports update.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Los Angeles facing 3 days of clashes with protesters and demonstrations against ICE immigration raids. ABC's Matt Gutman was in downtown for the unrest.
Just moments ago, there's some projectiles being thrown. Just moments ago, a motorcycle seemed to try to break through the police skirmish line. And now you can hear all those flashbangs going off. Police are trying to push those protesters back.
Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom both saying they did not request the National Guard. It was the first time since 1970. 1965, the National Guard was deployed by a president against the wishes of a governor. Scores of scientists have signed a letter called the Bethesda Declaration, challenging Trump policies they say are meant to undermine National Institutes of Health missions, waste public resources, and harm the health of Americans and people around the globe. Warner Brothers and Discovery announcing this morning they will be splitting off into two public companies by next year. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Brought to you by Marthaler Chevrolet Minocqua, your trusted hometown dealer for new Chevrolet vehicles and service. A man has been sentenced to prison after his seventh conviction for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated at a May 27th hearing in Price County Circuit Court. Taylor County Circuit Judge Ann Knox Bauer sentenced Terry Olhafen, 64 and now residing in Phoenix, Maryland, to 3 years state prison, followed by 4 years extended supervision, and in addition, he received a 24-month license revocation and an order to install an ignition interlock device to any vehicle he would operate, exercise absolute sobriety, understand a driver's safety plan, an alcohol assessment, and any treatment as required by probation. There was also $568 in fines and fees, and a second charge of operating with a prohibited alcohol content was dismissed. A plastic zip-top bag with marijuana inside was also observed inside the center console of the vehicle, and a third charge of misdemeanor THC possession was dismissed in the plea agreement. Friday, June 20th at 9 a.m., it's the first Park Falls Community Garage and Sidewalk Sale. With over 20 sales listed, including large multi-household sales, you're sure to find some treasures. A complete list of participating businesses and garage sales will be published on the Park Falls Area Chamber of Commerce website, their social media, and printed soon. Once again, this is taking place Friday, June 20th at 9 a.m., all around the city of Park Falls. A Wisconsin-based global company shows its pride this June with a fundraiser for the Trevor Project. Lisa Hale has more.
Schreiber Foods put foot to pavement Friday in celebration of Pride Month with the Peak Beyond 35 run through the streets of downtown Green Bay. Joyce Gao, co-chair of the company's Pride Business Resource Group, said the event has special meaning.
And the name Peak Beyond 35 refers to a fear that some folks in the LGBTQ community have that they may not live beyond the age of 35. And so we're here to show them through funding of supportive nonprofits and through putting ourselves through something that's physically challenging, that we believe that they can peak beyond the age of 35.
The Peak Beyond 35 run raised money for the Trevor Project, a nonprofit providing crisis support and peer support to LGBTQ plus youth. Schreiber Foods is a global company operating in 40 countries, headquartered in downtown Green Bay.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but at the same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jair Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Bring the family for chrome nostalgia and fun at the Minnesota Street Rod Association's Back to the 50s weekend, June 20th through the 22nd. Thousands of cool cars will cover the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Enjoy fair food, concerts, Kids World, Ladies Showcase, vendors, and more. On Saturday, watch the start of the great race. Discount tickets at participating Napa Auto Parts and free rides on Metro Transit. MSRA's Back to the 50s, June 20th through the 22nd. More info at MSRABackToThe50s.com.
Lager United Booster Club is proudly supported by Northwoods Dentistry, serving six locations, providing services from general and preventive to advanced services in cosmetics, implants, and more.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence. Compassion for people.
It's your captain speaking. To the passenger with the Mira Fast soft chews, smart move.
No way am I letting travel constipation ruin this trip.
Can't blame you. MiraFast works fast, but without the harsh side effects.
Since I'm such a smart traveler, can I move to first class?
No. Close the curtain, girl.
From the makers of MiraLax, new MiraFast soft chews work naturally with your body in as little as 30 minutes to give you a comfortable go on the go. Find MiraFast today at your local retailer. Use as directed for occasional constipation. Contains magnesium hydroxide.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 48. Tomorrow will be sunny, and it will be warmer with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
No sunshine today.
Oh, no, it's not like tomorrow's going to get up into the 60s today.
Yeah, I think temperatures are going to get to the 60s, but we're not going to see a whole lot of sun, I don't think.
No, it's not going to feel like the 60s. It's going to feel sad. It's like the minor key version of the 60-degree day today.
Well, you got a morning show co-host here who was born in the 60s, so close enough.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Too much of the 60s all of a sudden.
Exactly. Joel here and Gray over there, and it is the Gray Area Monday mornings. We do this. We won't be doing it next Monday because I'm not going to be here next week.
Oh, man, I'm going to have so much work to do.
Yeah, we're just stacking on Gray next week.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, Mike McKay taking a week off. Consecutive to Joel taking a week off. Gray?
A day.
Took a day off, buried there in the middle. Just a little old day off.
Just one old day off.
Feeling like the new guy around here or something.
I was checking out because I heard a reference this weekend to some over-unders on the number of games that teams are predicted to win in the 2025-26 NFL season. Here they are. The Bears, 8.5. The Vikings, 8.5. The Packers, 9.5. And the Lions, 10.5. That's your over-under for games in one division for this coming year. So if you had to pick, I'm going to make you pick two, because if I'm going to make you pick one, I know who you're going to pick. If you had to pick two teams, this is a four-team parlay we're doing here via DraftKings, who are not sponsoring this show, but I wish they would. So you're doing a four-team parlay with those four teams on the over-under number of wins. All right, what are you doing? Who are you going under with? Because someone's going to be under out of those four.
So under, I mean,
8.5 is the bar.
Most likely to be under, I'm going to put Vikings and Lions. Not because I necessarily actually think the Lions are going to be an under team, but because they're my wild card under. You know, I actually think the Bears have less talent and less proven coaching, but that coaching comes from Detroit. So, like, there's kind of an interesting relationship here, not just in past performance, but in the coaching itself. So, like, where am I going to put my money? I'm thinking that the Vikings and the Lions have, for very different reasons, good chances of being under teams, but also the Bears do too. And the Packers have no reason to be immune. You know, the Packers have just seen the least change. You know, the Packers have lost three starters and, well, 3.5 now if you count Jair. And Jair is the most talented one by far. The other one, a run-stopping defensive lineman, and past that, it was just depth guys. So, like, the guys showing up this fall, going to be almost identical except for a few awesome key additions in Green Bay. In Chicago, you got coaching changes. Yeah. Same thing in Detroit and quarterback in Minnesota. Those are the key differences. Beyond that, there's way too much nuance.
I'm going to go with the Bears and the Lions just because I think the Lions are just due for a little bit of a slip here. And 10 wins still might be enough to get them into a wild card. Possibly. It could be.
The whole division's due for a slip. Frankly, the whole division, all four teams are probably pretty likely to be worse than they were last year.
Well, because AFC schedule's tougher this year, too.
Exactly.
We don't have the AFC. What do we have? South last year, was it? That was whatever it was, not a good division.
Right. All. And it might turn out that this year is more similar than we expect. You know, the AFC North this year? I don't remember who, but we might end up playing a softer conference than we expected to play, but I doubt it. It's kind of tough to say we could expect that. So, I mean, again, it's not that I think the Packers have any reason to be better than last year. Yeah, they added a couple of receivers and a couple defensive players, but they're lacking in a couple key areas too. Can they stop the run? Can we get to the quarterback? You know, defense in general, can it function? And what do those new offensive pieces do? I'm not calling for I'm not pointing above the stands. This one's going out of the park here for Green Bay. I just think they've managed to stave off the scary things that have happened to all three of the divisional opponents. Changes in coaching, losses in players, specifically coaching. But Sam Darnold's, he's in Seattle now. Like, that surprise player who buoyed you last year, he gone.
I had to look yesterday. I forgot where he went to.
He's a Seahawk because Geno Smith is now a Raider because nobody left the Raiders. They had no quarterbacks last year. Actually, I think somebody did leave, but it's not anybody who's going anywhere to be a starter. So that was it. There was a void in Vegas, pulled Geno Smith over, and it's like, you know, hermit crabs, they kind of line up every once in a while and they all just, like, six of them will just shell hop. They call it a vacancy chain. It's a really neat little thing.
It's the last thing I was expecting as a hermit crab reference today. Those things scare me.
You're in the gray area.
They move so slow, and why would I be scared of them? But I don't like them at all. The 14 parlay, Gray has, he likes the Packers and
the Bears
to go over, and the Lions and the Vikings to go under. I like the Vikings. I like the Bears and the Lions to go under. So again, you're at 8.5 Bears, 8.5 Vikings, 9.5 Pack, 10.5 Lions. That's a crazy, crazy line. So the fifth part of that, let's make it a five wager parlay here. Okay,
Who did Austin bring in before? Wasn't it like some other team entirely that wasn't football related?
So we're gonna make this a $20 bet that's gonna turn into like $2,000 if we nail all these. The fifth parlay. Who's gonna throw more pick sixes this year, JJ McCarthy or Caleb Williams?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jordan Love, and I was going to say Jordan because he's had a knack for that. shoot, JJ's a total wild card.
He is a total wild
card. No clue what to expect there. He played like three snaps and his leg blew up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with JJ. Oh, man. See, there's, like, everything about the NFC North has an asterisk because, like, Kevin O'Connell is going to protect J.J. McCarthy from the mistakes that young quarterbacks would make, just like Ben Johnson is going to do for Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson is why my answer was J.J. McCarthy, you know? The leadership, the Bears coaching is why I thought the Vikings might throw more pick sixes. But the Vikings have their own fantastic leadership. Like, the NFC North is better off than it's been for a long time, and maybe than any division has been for a really long time. There's always a bully. Like, the Chiefs, they've been the big brother. The Patriots played against a Bills and a Dolphin and the Jets that didn't exist. Like, come on. The Patriots, while they did deserve every Super Bowl they got, certainly did not exactly have to leapfrog anybody to win their divisions.
That
didn't hurt them. I'm not going to say that they wouldn't have done it, but, like, you get the idea. This is a completely different picture in the NFC North. I think we are totally spoiled for it. And, yeah, it's going to hurt because we're going to lose more, but... wow, this is the most competitive division I've ever seen. And I know I'm a young guy, but I'm 30-something. You know, I've been paying attention for a little bit. It's really cool to see this.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings were 14-3 last year. The people are getting the Vikings no respect this year because of their quarterback. The Vikings have a better defense. They've actually – and a better offensive line than they did last year. They brought in some Pro Bowlers. It's a better team.
Yeah.
And there's one reason why people are doubting why the Vikings will be good again this year, and it's because the history of rookie quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes.
And that's the number one reason why. So with that, I will give this bold prediction. You ready for the bold prediction of the gray area? This is the boldest I've ever done here. I'm going out. Hang, I'm going out.
He's hit Control B. It's bold.
Yes, it's bold.
It's size 17 font.
If J.J. McCarthy finishes in the top 10 in quarterback rating in the NFL this year, if he finishes in the top 10, the Minnesota Vikings will win the Super Bowl.
Oh,
well, top 10.
I was thinking make the Super Bowl. I was thinking you were going to hedge it and keep it super safe, make the playoffs kind of stuff. No. If he's top 10 in quarterback rating, the Vikings win the Super Bowl.
I'm going with that. But for a rookie quarterback to finish in the top 10 is a bit of a stretch.
Not to blaspheme, but I suddenly feel like I'm sitting in the church of J.J. McCarthy all of a sudden. Like, whoa. He is here to save us.
And I will be honest, like most Viking fans, I am going into this season with a rookie quarterback. I have no idea what to expect. He could pull a Christian Ponder out there. Would not surprise me. He could go out there and be Joe Burrow. Would surprise me a little bit, but he could be really good and wouldn't surprise me. I really go on with a blank slate with this guy.
I love it, though, because in a league of 32 teams, you're basically saying if he's better, like if he's in the top third, you know, if he gets like a B minus, that's pigs flying in Minneapolis. Like that is something that has never happened coming to town this year. To a theater near you.
Yep, I've said it. Well, we promised somebody last week that we would talk pickleball, so go ahead, Gray. Let's talk pickleball. Again, we kind of did a little bit once.
I admonished him on my morning show over on Trilix. I was like, Roger, we did talk about it's you don't. Pickleball has a crazy unique appeal. And actually, before I forget, I wanted to just say something. I think the reason that people doubt the Vikings before we move on, just very quickly, is because the changes that you guys have undergone this season are the least interesting to talk about.
All right.
That's all it is. That's literally all it is. We can look at the new coaches in Detroit and the ones who have left Detroit and went to Chicago and say, hey, here's what we can expect. Here's what they've done before. When it comes to J.J. McCarthy, all that can really be said is wait and see. And that's boring, so they don't talk about it, so they pretend they doubt him. The Vikings are going to be good this year.
And the Vikings picked up guys that aren't I think they're going to be good status. They picked up two Pro Bowl offensive linemen and threw them in there now. So that's different when we pick up two guys that are proven to be really, really good. And that could make a difference for the Vikings.
NFC North is going to be a bloodbath again. But yes, pickleball. Anyway,
pickleball. Pickleball.
I had one more opinion, and I couldn't not share it, Joel. Pickleball kind of blows my mind because of the intersectionality of it, which is to say that more people and more different kinds of people of different ages, of different social classes and groups are playing it. And it's also especially weird because I played pickleball 20 years ago.
Really?
Yes. And I mentioned this on the morning show not all too terrible long ago, which is how I remember we talked about pickleball before, Roger. shout out to Mrs. Gustafson. She was first PE for me at St. Anthony's when she was teaching there a couple different times, I think. And then again, she was health teacher when I was there in high school. She was an awesome teacher every time, still is 100%. But we played pickleball with Mrs. Gustafson. And anybody who says they didn't either doesn't remember or is lying to you. We had wooden paddles that were wheeled out on this rack that did nothing but hold pickleball paddles. And I mean, like, I remember thinking at the time, man, these are some St. A's used sports equipment. Like, they weren't beat up. They were in good shape. Sure, you could catch a splinter off one because they were a little older, but that's just the wood that was available. But they'd held up through the test of time.
Sure.
So, like, I'd actually love to find out if those are still around, if those were a thing that was rescued from the school before it was taken down. Because honestly, if somebody had decided let them just be splinters at the end of it, I wouldn't have necessarily blamed them. But there's a lot of memories attached. Pickleball's been around.
Yeah, and there's a convenience factor with pickleball too, because it takes a lot less court area than tennis does, and a little less maintenance too, just because the court is smaller. There's a lot of tennis lovers around the country that are a little bit upset that their tennis courts are being replaced by pickleball courts. So
do something to make your sport more popular.
I mean, do I
disagree with you that you should have your access to your tennis courts? To some degree, yeah, I do. I get it. I understand the upset. But that's honestly just you not liking change in a lot of cases. Like that's like you gotta make tennis more appealing to people. Tennis has had an accessibility problem for a long time. I mean, like, there's a lot of rules that are still attached to the sport that whether they're still meant to do this or not, what they end up doing is creating barriers. And I'm not knocking people for dressing in nice clothes when they play tennis, you know, but you can absolutely, you know, there's a bit more of a Northwoods feel to pickleball than to tennis.
Oh, definitely.
I would say, you know, like your buddy you can share a beer with responsibly is going to play pickleball with you probably before they're going to play tennis with you.
There we go. We talk pickleball. I don't know what the rules are. Do they use the same scoring as tennis? No,
I don't know.
They go to like 11 or something.
I
like
don't
that.
Remember. I know it's similar. I don't remember if it was a rally system. And of course, like any game, it comes down to how you want to play it. The main point is wooden paddle, wiffle ball, low net, small court.
Yeah. Right now, there's some people listening that are saying, really? You don't even know the rules of pickleball? I know. I can only keep up with so many things. So, all right. So we talk pickleball. There you go. one thing we're going to wrap up the show with today at 8:51 in the gray area, something we put on our menu a couple weeks ago but never got to talk about, and it's the Madden movie, the movie about John Madden.
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage got the casting role to play John Madden, and just from the outside, when I first heard that, I was just like, no, I have not seen the movie, but I have heard people that have watched the movie, and they have said that Nicolas Cage does it very well, but still.
I don't fault you whatsoever for your reaction. Nicolas Cage might be the weirdest movie star ever, you know, like if you... How dare you bring expectations to a Nicolas Cage film? I think that's the first mistake.
It's true.
It's kind of, yeah, just like, I think he wakes up in the morning, he's like, all right, what are they not ready for? And you know, a lot of people do that, but he gets better answers than most of us, I think.
Nicolas Cage to me is, I like him. I liked him in certain movies. He's done a lot of movies, some really bad ones. But he seems to me like the type of actor who I get a feeling like he's trying to act. I don't know. Is that a good phrase to put it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel like he's a person who's acting more than the person he's trying to act as, there's kind of a barrier between him and the role, at least for your experience. But
yeah,
one thing worth remembering about Nicolas Cage is that like many stars, that's not his real name, but his real name, Google it up once, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, spell it right first.
Even though you misspelled it, it was still the top result. There you go. So, Nicolas Cage, born Nicholas Kim Coppola, as in Francis Ford Coppola, director. Movies such as The Godfather. Involved in movies such as The Godfather.
He had a little in right away there.
Yeah, I believe it was Coppola, producer of The Godfather. Forgive me, I know I just committed an atrocity cinema-wise, but you know what I mean. He grew up around movies his whole life, and I mean quality productions, high-dollar films.
Look at his first movie ever.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That just blew my mind.
1982.
I don't remember him even being in that.
And scroll up a little bit. Could you scroll up, like, back up to the top, please? I just want to see how... He was born in 81. He started in 81, 06. You're in his filmography. Okay, gotcha. I don't know how old he actually is.
Yeah, he's got to be in his 60s, I would guess, right?
Well, yeah, but I think he must have been a teenager when Fast Times came out.
Yeah, he's got a long list of movies. But when the Madden movie came out, the first person I thought of to play him, Frank Caliendo, I thought. But then that was just too obvious, I guess, right?
I mean, he's the right man. Caliendo might be too good for it.
Yeah.
He might honestly be too good for it.
And he might not, I mean, Caliendo does the voice perfectly, but maybe he couldn't pull off the look. Because we when we hear great impersonators like Frank Caliendo, we throw aside the fact that whether or not they look like him. That's not what we care about. We're listening to it. So maybe he wasn't a good visual for that.
Maybe, but like you can't tell me that he's not close enough to, like, if you look at the makeup that Nicolas Cage is wearing to be John Madden, which looks great, You can't tell me Caliendo wasn't close enough, you know? And by the way, I just very quickly Googled it on the sly. Yes, Francis Ford Coppola did direct The Godfather. I have no idea why I was doubting that, but like I had this pin in my stomach. I was like, if I'm going to talk about a movie's director and I'm going to get it wrong, it cannot be The Godfather. Like, but we can talk about Sharknado and get that wrong.
1964, so Cage is 61
years old.
Yeah,
and he was about 17, 18 during principal photography on Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So he's been started early, but no, like his, if you're wondering where Nicolas Cage comes from, he's been around acting and high dollar production his whole life. That's what he's been since he entered this earth.
He
it kind of makes sense to be that he'd have his very own singular version. You know, he's not Robin Williams, but only Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Amazon Prime, you can watch it if you want to. Plug for them. I like they need it. I've heard good things about the movie. I have not watched it. I'm going to have my Amazon Prime expires next week, so I'm going to have to watch it.
Christian Bale plays Al Davis. It's the era of the Raiders that you can predict pretty easily predict.
Yeah, there's the Madden movie, and then there is the Brett Favre bio on. Is that on Netflix?
Oh, you want to learn about a terrible person good at football?
Yeah, it's it does not put Mr. Favre in a good light. I think it's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yes, it's on Netflix. Yeah, is Brett Favre your childhood hero? Do you want to ruin that? Coming to Netflix last week.
Does not put him in a good light.
It's so bad. Seriously, if you love Brett Favre and you don't want that to change, just don't watch it. That said, don't loudly cling to the past because it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. That illusion of who Brett Favre was, it's gone. That texting thing a few years back, that's scratching the surface.
Mr. Gunderson, thank you so much. We look forward to having you on the air for additional 2 hours today with McKay being gone.
Woohoo!
Your overtime to this week, and this is a preparation for more overtime next week.
I get overtime. You heard it promised here.
Yes, we will double your overtime pay from what it normally is. Greg Gunderson
Hold on.
From noon until
What's
question
going
mark
on here?
Today, later. Thank you very much.